Welcome everybody, this is How To English, Teach and Learn with Gavin M.
It's a podcast about teaching, learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions stated are personal and references will be given when necessary.
Em, I cannot contain my enthusiasm for today's episode.
That's good, Gav. That's really good. I'm ready to go.
Because we are returning to one of the most important aspects of teaching and learning languages.
Yeah.
Which we have covered before. And in case anybody hasn't already checked out our previous episode of How To Pronunciation, because that is the theme for today, please go back to Season 1, Episode 13, and check it out.
That was a long time ago for us.
It was. It was a lifetime ago.
So we should refresh it and definitely worth talking about it again.
It is. And do you remember some of the things we talked about in that episode? And would you like a little recap?
Yeah, it was like it was yesterday, Gav. But yeah, go on. Just refresh my memory.
We talked about how listening is good for both speaking and listening skills, because these skills that you will learn in your pronunciation lessons will also help you understand the ways other people speak. We also talked about confusing spellings. For example, do you remember fruit and suet?
Yes.
Comfortable and vegetable.
Yes.
Could you correct some of my pronunciation, please?
Hang on, that was a lot there. So fruit and suit.
That's it. Remember, wear a fruit suit today.
Banana lapels, maybe? Yep.
Kippertai.
That's not fruit, Gav.
Oh, yeah. Comfortable and vegetable.
So, yeah, Gav, it's okay for it to be four syllables, let's agree, but don't stress the table part.
You're getting very technical. What is a syllable?
It's a part of a word, a chunk, let's say, the sound of the word.
Ah, so in the example of vegetable, I'm using three syllables, but you might say
vegetable.
And you've got four syllables there.
Yes.
Right.
Not right or wrong.
We also talked about using songs to improve your pronunciation. We talked about IPA, the International Phonetic Alphabet, which could help. Intonation, rhythm, stress, emphasis on certain words, weak and strong sounds. And we also discussed noun and verb stress, which I think we might come back to this episode, Em.
Yeah, with some more extras, I guess. We're going to cover some things we didn't talk about in that episode. So, Gav, where are we going to start?
And before we go any further, let's introduce our special guest, who is Rasul, also known as Mr. Pronunciation on Instagram, where you can find pronunciation tips and key language to improve your speaking and writing skills. Plus, check out Rasul's YouTube channel, where he provides study guides for TOEFL, IELTS, GRE, GMAT, SAT exams and more. Plus, practical solutions for improving your CV and how to make an application for graduate school.
I'm really excited about this guest, Gav, because he's going to tell us a lot about how to improve pronunciation and lots more.
Hello, Gav. Hello, Em. Thanks for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Hello, everyone. My name is Rasul. I run an Instagram page under the name Mr. Pronunciation and a YouTube channel under the name Applyunication, a combination of application and university. Before I tell you how I, as a teacher, help my students and you, I need to tell you who I am. I'm 31. I'm originally from Iran, living in Turkey, doing a PhD in philosophy. Am I bragging about my education? No. Then why am I mentioning it? Well, you're going to see that in a couple of minutes. Basically, my page and my YouTube channel focus on two things. On the one hand, I have pronunciation videos, which constitute the majority of the videos I upload. And on the other hand, I deal with the academic world, with university application material, with academic writing, and all the exam required for you to apply to a graduate school. Why do I teach pronunciation? Well, the thing is that I have been teaching for over 8 years now. And both in Iran and in Turkey, and thanks to COVID, we have been teaching online for some time. So all over the world, I saw a lack of the pages that particularly focus on pronunciation. There are a lot of pages focusing on grammar, on vocabulary, on expressions, idioms, the things that we as non-natives are focused on from primary school to high school and university, for that matter. And we are kind of fed up with it because we know this stuff. Give us a piece of paper, we can do it perfectly. But ask us to speak, we change 7 colors under 5 seconds. Am I saying that you shouldn't study grammar, expressions, idioms, vocabulary? Well, of course not. You should. Those are fundamental things in any language that you want to learn. But the problem is that those shouldn't be the only skills that you focus on. Those are the building blocks that help you speak. And when you open your mouth, before anybody sees your other skills, the only thing they see is your speaking, your accent, your pronunciation. And if I may quote myself arrogantly, speaking is the showcase of any language that you speak. And without a good showcase, nobody will enter that shop. Yes. All those skills that you learn should point to one direction, and that direction is your speaking. This is the reason why I mostly focus on pronunciation and accent. Now, how should you learn a language? Well, I'm not here to give you a plan that takes a much longer time. I'm here to give you some tips. And the best tip I can give any student studying any language is think of the language you are learning as a jealous partner, as a jealous husband or a jealous wife. If you're in a relationship with someone jealous, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you do, you should always be dealing with her or with him. You should show that you're thinking of her. It doesn't work by just going to a coffee shop for half an hour and then bye-bye, see you next week. In case you're a teenager, let me break your heart. That relationship is not gonna last. Studying any language is also like that. It's not that for half an hour on the weekend, you're gonna put a book in front of you, start studying, and you speak the language fluently in a couple of months. Just no, that's not gonna happen. You need to live that language the same way that you live your partner. Wherever you are, you should think of her. And by her, I don't mean your fiancé or your wife. I mean English language. Live the language. Create an atmosphere in your life and let everything pass through the filter of English language or any other language that you are learning. Read in English if you are reading something. Watch English films when you want to have entertainment. Have friends. Speak with them. Text them. Write emails. Well, we don't write emails anymore because it's not 50 years ago, but you can use Instagram, WhatsApp, or any other platform for this purpose. Take your pick. So the point is, spend time with that language, slowly, but in a long-term manner. It's a slow game. It's a long game. Please have entertainment. I'm not asking you to put away all your socializing and focus on just learning language. That's not going to work. You need to have fun and you need to study. So you need to juggle both to stay fresh. So this is the end of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening, or put more accurately, for tolerating my voice for 5-6 minutes. And thanks a lot, dear Gav and dear M, my dear colleagues and students. Please follow passionately the videos that Gav and M are putting in their great and informative page. Have a good day or night, depending on the time you're listening to this, and go get it.
Can I firstly just say there's no reason that we should have to tolerate your voice, Russell, because your voice is lovely and I could listen to it all day.
That's absolutely true. It was a delight listening to Russell, or Mr. Pronunciation's voice, and there were some wonderful tips in there. I totally agree with the point about your commitment to English. You have to be fully committed to improving your language skills, and that is the key to improving your abilities in any language. And I love this idea of learning through the filter of English, where if it's your free time, if it's your studies, if it's communications in any way, try to use English as much as possible.
There were some great metaphors in there. I like the idea of this is your partner. The English is your partner and you have to treat it with love and, like you said, commitment, and you can't ignore it because it will get bored and go away, I suppose. Some really nice comparisons. And yeah, that idea that speaking is your showcase for your English. So you're showing your skills through your speaking. And even though you know all the basic grammar structure, it doesn't mean you can produce it, does it? You can maybe do it in an email, but different when it comes to actually saying it all out loud. And not just the words you're using, but the pronunciation of those words really affect how well you can be understood.
That's very true, because we are judged on the way that we present ourselves, whether it's our language, it could be spoken, it could be written, even in our emails. Although I know Rasul said they were quite antiquated, but I still email.
I do too.
And I think about style. I think about how I'm communicating with that person. Is the formality correct? Am I being too informal? All of these things are really important.
Yes, and that's the same when you're speaking, isn't it? You might have a relationship with someone online just by writing to them, but then you might meet them and realise your communication is so different because you're speaking now. It's a completely different skill, and those two things can be a bit of a disconnect sometimes. I know with my students, their ability to write and read and comprehend is so different to their actual speaking skills. And they get very frustrated. I know they do, because they want to be able to express themselves the way they write. And they can't because they haven't practiced it, or they just haven't focused on that one skill. So yeah, it's definitely a slow, long game, as Rasul said. You have to be in it for the long haul. And you need to love it, I think. Yeah.
And you need to build that confidence, of course. As you said, you might have the skills, but actually delivering them, that's the challenge.
Maybe that's what we can do as teachers to help that confidence, because I think that's a really key point, Gav, when you meet a new student and they may have issues with their pronunciation.
Some insecurities, maybe.
Well, you don't know that first lesson. You're not sure about what they feel, how they are. But the important thing is, and I've had it with my students, is to show that you understand what they're saying, because if you as a teacher don't show that on the first lesson, that can really inhibit their confidence, and in the future they might not want to speak. So I think that even if it's a bit of a struggle in the first lesson, I'm really mindful of that, and I don't look confused or say to my students, I really don't understand what you're saying, sorry, or you've got this really difficult to understand accent, or you're not pronouncing these words properly, because that is their first day and they're not going to feel confident after that to speak. So I'm always aware of it, and I try not to correct too much, as I've said in other episodes, because I've had students say to me at the end of the first lesson, after I've let them just speak, they've said, did you understand me? And I was, yeah, of course I did. Yeah, everything. And they were just so happy and surprised, because maybe in the past they've been told, yeah, you're not doing it quite right. So I think that's a really good thing, to start them in a way that they feel confident, and then you work on their issues after that. You may disagree, Gav. It's a bit controversial. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you, Em. I feel exactly the same way, because building students' confidence is key to them then going forward. And that's where I step in and say, okay, now it's time for us to correct some of these sounds, get your pronunciation working correctly, and people will understand you better.
Nice.
And before we start the next part of the episode, I just wanted to tell you briefly about one of my students who was living in the UK, learning English, British English, and then they moved to the USA. Mm. But before they did, they said, Gav, I'm a bit worried because the Americans speak differently to the British.
Mm-hmm.
So I devised a little activity with my student, and I thought I might practice this with you.
Nice. You talking about purely from a pronunciation point of view, the difference of American and British English?
Yes, I am.
Mm. Yes.
So I thought I might try this with you. I'm going to describe a word to you. Then you tell me the word, And you can give me both the British and the American pronunciation if you know it.
Okay. I'm ready, Gav. I'm ready for this American-British test. And may I just say, as Mark Twain said, that Britain and America are two nations divided by a common language. Isn't that nice?
That's a really nice quote. Thanks. So, my first word is, imagine you have a company, you've produced a product, and you want to tell the world about this product. You might use an
advertisement.
Ah, so that's the British pronunciation.
Yeah, or an advertisement.
Excellent USA English. Now, you've done work, you've advertised your product, you can take some free time for yourself and relax some. Begins with an L, this free
time. Yeah, leisure time.
Very good, very good. British English and?
Leisure time.
It is leisure time. Very nice. Of course, we're all working on computers these days and we worry about the security. We worry about people accessing our private confidential files and calendars and contacts. So we worry about our, begins with a P.
Privacy.
British, English and American?
Privacy.
Fantastic. Of course, I mentioned your timetable. Another word for timetable?
I never remember which one is which, but I know there's schedule and there's schedule.
Well, according to angmohadan.com, where I borrowed this activity, thank you to them, 22 words with British and American pronunciation that may confuse you. According to them, they said that schedule with a K is the USA.
Yeah, I think I remember growing up saying schedule and then at some point changing it to schedule.
I think I've switched to schedule as well, yeah. But I don't really care. Now, you're sitting down to your lunch, You've got your lettuce, you've got your cucumber. You might want one of those nice, red, juicy...
tomatoes.
Tomatoes. They're so British. It sounds so British. Tomato. And what do the
Americans... That's just how I say it.
What
I
do mean, the Americans say?
Tomato.
Yeah, that's it. And sitting next to you on the table, next to your lunch, is a beautiful arrangement of flowers sitting in a...
vase.
Yes, or a...
vase.
Nice. And of course, if we're talking about all this healthy salad that you're eating for your lunch, they're going to give you lots of delicious, healthy, not minerals, but the other ones.
Vitamins.
And in the US?
Vitamins.
Wow. We're going to do just one more. As you were sitting there with your beautiful flowers in front of you, your delicious salad lunch on the table, you look out of the window and you see walking past the window a very peculiar animal, which is typically in the African savannas. And you think to yourself, what on earth is a black and white animal that walks along, looks a bit like a horse doing outside? It's a...
zebra.
And in America?
Zebra.
Wow.
That was fun.
Well
done.
That was
really fun.
That was absolutely brilliant. So you can see the quite significant differences between some of those words. There was a little bonus. Would you like to just hear the bonus word?
Ding, ding, ding. Bonus word. Yes.
It's an element, a metal, and you might have your fizzy pop can made of this material.
You told me this, and this was a very interesting thing that I learned. I was... very old when I learned it, because it was only last week.
You're not very old, don't say that.
But I didn't know. There is a difference in pronunciation, because British people say aluminium and Americans say aluminum. But I didn't know there was an extra I in the British spelling of it.
So it's actually spelt differently.
Which would actually make sense that it's pronounced differently, but I never realised why it was pronounced differently.
For all the examples that I told you before, they were all spelled the same.
Yeah.
But for the bonus word, actually it was spelt differently.
Yeah.
And there are quite a few like this.
Yeah, very confusing. But you may not recognise the word based on just that, yeah, the pronunciation of it. So that's a really good activity. I like that.
Thanks, Sam. What I'd like to do next, Em... is obviously students can't simply just memorize all of the different words and the different pronunciations and the different stresses and the American English and the British English.
It doesn't really seem fair that they have to learn these words and then learn again the same words with a different pronunciation depending on the country. That's hard.
Well, as I say to my students, stick to one. Choose if you prefer British English or American English. And also, if you're doing exams, I think we've mentioned this before, stick to either British or American English.
I still say exams, yes, but in life, who cares? It's not important if you want to stick with one or the other or mix them up.
I agree.
Like a salad. Why not?
We do need to mention the few rules because students love rules. Teachers love rules. Who doesn't love rules?
Except when there's an exception, which there always is.
We'll come to that. So if I give you a couple of words, you can tell me, Em, because you're a super teacher.
Okay.
You can tell us what the rules are for the stress in the words. What do I mean by stress in words?
The loud bit.
Yeah.
Simply.
Can you give us an example of a word that has stress?
So something like Monday, the stress is on the first syllable, Monday, but maybe information, that's four syllables, and you've got the stress on the third, information.
Aha, so like you said, it's a bit louder and the syllable is stressed.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference in understanding, because if you stress the wrong syllable, people can get confused to what you're actually saying.
Yeah,
it is very important in English.
I hope I know the rules, Gav, because I'm not sure I do.
We'll find out.
Okay.
So in the examples table and happy, what are the rules, Em?
You stress the first syllable.
Of?
Any noun, any adjective with two syllables, the stress is usually on the first syllable, with some exceptions, like...
Hotel.
Yes. Japan.
Extreme.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
There are a few exceptions.
This is just how it is.
You're right. That's the general rule. How about these words? Divide between.
Okay. So a two-syllable verb or preposition, the stress is on the second syllable, usually.
You worked it out. That's very good. Again, there can be some exceptions there, but this is the general rule. How about these words? Present, export, suspect.
This is a tricky group because these are verbs and nouns and the stress changes. So suspect, noun, suspect, verb.
Can you give us an example of those two words in sentences so we can understand which is the noun and which is the verb?
So I suspect you will have a nap this afternoon, Gav. And the suspect in the court case admitted they had done the crime.
Ah, I've got it.
Yeah.
I've got a verb and a noun.
There are a lot of them, aren't there? Like record, record.
Present, present, export, export.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There are exceptions again. For example, respect. Which is
the same.
Stressed on the second syllable. And if it's a noun... or a verb. Manager.
Manager. Three syllables. Stress is on the first.
That's it. That's the general rule. Last one, Em.
Any word. This is in adjectives, nouns, verbs. It's usually on the first. Okay.
Finally, compound nouns.
Yeah. Go on.
Well, football, keyboard.
I see what you mean. So it's always on the first syllable if it's a compound noun, but it's not always easy to recognise if it's a compound noun.
You're right. That is generally the rule. And thank you very, very much to fluentu.com for their amazing blog. I'll put all of the links in the show notes so you can check out all the rest of their resources. Absolutely brill.
Lots of fun. I like that.
And before I let you take over, because I know you've got something really interesting to talk about, before we've got our final part of the show, I just wanted to mention something that I think is really cool in English that I spotted when I was a child. I remember looking at words in English and thinking, oh, if you just add an E to the end, the sound of the vowel in the word changes from a short sound to a long sound. And listeners, I want you to do the same. See if you can get there before M.
I might need an example here, Gav.
For example, man.
Main.
Oh, you got that. You just added an E after man and you got main. So it went from the short A to the A. Main. What about this one? Tap.
Tape.
Hop.
Hope.
Pop.
Pope.
Not.
Note.
Rod.
Road.
Kit.
Kite.
Cut.
Cute. Ooh.
It's good, isn't it?
Wow, it's like magic.
Pip.
Pipe.
Cap.
Cape.
Mop.
Mope.
Sit.
Sight.
Rip.
Ripe.
I could do this all day.
Did you find that out yourself? Or...
This is from cram.com. There's some flashcards.
Oh.
So thank you so much to MKSS Tutor 9 for those.
That's great. So the short I or A or E becomes an I or an E. Yeah, that's really interesting.
It's cool, isn't it? Of course, there are exceptions.
There always are, Gav. But anyway, that's nice. So my turn. My turn. I thought we could finish by talking about these lovely little things that we have in English called homonyms, homophones and homographs.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard of them?
I have heard of them and I tend to just mix them all up together.
It's interesting just to have a few examples. So let's start with homonyms. A homonym is a word that has the same pronunciation, same spelling, but has a different meaning. So if I tell you a sentence... and you try and pick out the word that has a different meaning in a different context, yeah?
Right.
Our company has branches in New York, Frankfurt and Singapore.
Branches?
Hmm. So in this sentence, it's like, what?
Offices in other cities or somewhere.
Yeah. What other meaning is there for branches?
Branches are extensions of a tree where leaves may grow.
Nice. And on that kind of topic, if I say, don't pine for him, he isn't worth it, what's the homonym?
Pine.
In this one it means...
be sad for something.
Yeah, exactly.
But pine is also a tree, Em.
Yes, it is.
A pine tree.
Exactly.
With pine cones.
Yes. So those are homonyms. Let's move on to homophone. A homophone is a word with the same pronunciation, but a different spelling and a different meaning. So if I say to you, what does whale mean, Gav?
Whale as in the animal or as in to cry?
What kind of animal?
It's a sea animal.
Okay, so how
the
do you...
the biggest.
Yeah.
W-H-A-L-E.
And the other one you said was to cry. How do you spell that?
That's a verb and it's W-A-I-L.
Exactly. Whale, whale. Two different kinds of whale.
They're very different. Whales, whale... in Wales.
Yeah.
Because Wales is also a country.
That's true, but with an S. What about the word hire? How do you spell hire?
Hire, H-I-R-E, to hire somebody, which is to ask somebody to join your employment.
Yep.
Hire, the comparative adjective, H-I-G-H-E-R.
Mm.
This is higher than that.
Good. Very different spelling, isn't it?
It is, but the sound is exactly the same.
Yep.
And students don't realise this because they see these words written down and they try to pronounce them differently. And it's not until they realise they're actually the same sound.
And I've really sympathised because they do look so different. Can I finish with what does air mean?
Air.
This is a good example.
So air is a combination of gases that we inhale to breathe so we can get oxygen into our bodies, our blood systems.
How do you spell that?
It's A-I-R. There is also air, as in heir to the throne, which is also a noun, which is spelled H-E-I-R.
Good. Exactly. So what a strange word we have in English, heir to the throne. And if you see it written down, anyone would think it's pronounced
Yeah. Yeah. So the prince is the heir of the throne.
Yeah.
But no, it's heir, heir to the throne.
And nobody would understand what you mean if you pronounced it how you think it should be. So that's a tricky one, isn't it? The last example that we were going to talk about is homographs. Okay. And homographs have different pronunciation, same spelling, but a different meaning. So I'm going to give you a sentence this time. And I want you to think of a word that fits in the sentence. So where you need to say the word, I'm going to say blank. So squirrels, blank nuts in woods and gardens. Squirrels.
Hide.
Squirrels, blank nuts in woods and gardens. Yeah, they hide them, but they hide them under the ground, so they...
Bury.
Bury. How do you spell it?
B-U-R-Y.
Good. But there's another kind of berry.
B-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah, you
like
see.
Like strawberry. Yeah. Blackberry.
Same pronunciation.
Cranberry.
Different spelling. Different meaning.
Wow.
Very difficult. I'll give you another one.
And just looking at the spelling, it really looks like a completely different word.
It does. Yeah, it does. What about speaking in public makes my voice go blank?
It makes my voice go... Can I have a clue?
When you have dry, kind of croaky...
Like a frog in your throat.
Yeah,
oh, horse!
Yes, not a frog. Horse. How do you spell horse?
H-O-A-R-S-E.
Yeah. Well done. Horse. I'm a bit hoarse today, yeah?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you've changed into an animal that you can ride fast.
That's true. I'm not riding a horse.
No, because that's spelled...
H-O-R-S-E.
Yeah. So that's the horse you can ride. Okay, she was getting married. She lifted her blank and smiled at her new partner.
This must be a veil.
Yes, and how do you spell it?
V-E-I-L.
Good. What is a veil?
A veil is a fabric covering used especially during weddings.
Yeah, but do you know another kind of veil?
No.
No? Oh. Veil. It can be used instead of valley.
Oh, yeah, gosh, yeah, V-A-L-E, a
yes,
veil.
Yes,
so valley or vale,
yeah,
is an area between mountains or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to do the last one, which is my favourite. They stopped along the coast and tied their boat to a small blank in the harbour.
A small... Post?
No, it's a floating thing.
A buoy.
Yes. How do you spell it?
B-U-O-Y.
Yes, which is a floating device for mooring your boat. But right. if you tied your boat to a small...
B-O-Y.
Buoy, that would be really horrible.
That's not the type of buoy I would attach rope to.
No.
Definitely a confusing word, M.
And it is really confusing because do you know the way Americans say buoy, like the boat buoy?
Yeah, the pronunciation's very different.
Buoy.
A buoy, that's it. And Australian English, I think.
Yes, that was, for me, an experience.
So I'm picturing a floating orange or yellow plastic object in the sea.
Yeah.
And not a child.
Yeah. Very different image. So finally, I'm going to introduce our special feature, which is called
Teacher, Teach Me.
I'm not sure we're going to keep that up because it sounds really horrible. But okay. Teacher, Teach Me. And this episode's special feature teacher is Toktam from Morning English with Toktam. You can find her on Instagram with the handle morning_English_. And she is going to tell us a little bit about the words her, hair, here and here.
Oh, that's very similar to the words that you mentioned. So homonyms.
Yes.
Homophones.
And homographs. Yeah. So it's a nice compliment to our episode, Gav. And yeah, don't forget to check out our previous pronunciation episode back in season 1.
And also check out Toktam's IG account plus Mr. Pronunciation. You can find him at Instagram under the handle Mr. Pronunciation and go to his YouTube channel as well. Links are in the show notes. Em?
Yes, Gav.
I'm out of here.
See you next time.
Ciao.
Hello, everyone. This is Toktam from Morning English. Today we want to learn about 4 different words that might be a little tricky because they have somehow the same pronunciation, but they're different in meaning and also in spelling. So let's get started. The first word is her, her, and it is spelled H-E-R, her. It shows possession. For example, when you want to talk about something that belongs or something that is related to a girl, to a woman, or to a female. For example, this is her book. That is her bag. This is her pencil. Okay? This is my pencil. That is her pencil. This is my book. That is her book. The second word is her. Her. It is spelled H-A-I-R. It is something that grows on your head. Hair. Someone has long hair. Someone has short hair. I have black hair. I have brown hair. I have red hair. Okay, let's go to the third word. The third one is here. Here. It is spelled H-E-R-E. This one is in contrast with the word there. Here, there. And it simply means in this place or in this point of time. For example, you can say to someone, please come here, come here. Means come to my place, come here. Or when you want to draw some attention, you say, here, please listen to me. The fourth and the last one is again here. The same in pronunciation, but different in spelling and in meaning. Here. It is spelled H-E-A-R. Here. This is when you use your ears to know about a sound that is made. For example, I can hear with my ears. Hear. Hear with ears. Or can you hear that sound? I can hear a sound. Can you hear that sound? So thank you everyone. This is the last. This is the end for four words that are similar in pronunciation but different in spelling and meaning. So until next time, bye-bye.